readings speak about that we are light of the world, salt of the earth. What it means that we are light of the world? You know that in the baptism, you have received the candle. Maybe you don't remember, Mary, maybe you were too small, but you have seen other baptisms. You have received the candle which says the light of Christ. And we are supposed to bring that light to the world. And what does it mean that we are light of the world? It's not, you know, when you say to somebody you are light or something, it might sound kind of noble or special, being special. Christ doesn't mean anything like that. It means you are at service for the world. Light is not here in order that we may admire light. Light is here that it helps us to see each other, to see everything in this room. And basically, actually, you never see light. You see other things by the help of light. You don't look at the light. And same is with the salt. If soup is good, nobody thinks there is exactly good amount of salt in the soup. Nobody thinks about salt at that moment, if soup is good. If soup is not good, you notice something is missing here, and you add salt. And if by any chance in the soup you find the lump of salt, what you would do? Politely or unpolitely, you would spit it out. So it's with Christians. They are supposed to dissolve, disappear in the world, to change the world without showing off. You understand? The worst thing what Christian can do, to pat himself, look at me, I'm Christian. I'm doing the good thing. That's the worst thing. Then you are not functioning like Christian, when you try to show off like Christian. The other thing which we have to see from that, you are the light of the world. You cannot bring light to the world if you blend in the world, if you become same like the world. That's what is difficult about being Christian. We have to disappear, but also we have to be different than the world. And nobody likes to be different than the world. Anybody here likes to stick out? Nope, nobody. Because the one who stick out, his head usually goes off. Nobody likes to stick out. Yet, that's what we are called, to be different than the world and to show to the world that it's possible to live in different way, that it's possible to live as God calls us to do. Let me give you one example. I know from our community, one family in mission in Germany. They went to the Eastern Germany, to the part which was communist, where the faith is completely destroyed, families are destroyed, everything is destroyed. You just have the people coexisting there like individuals broken by communism. I know what communism is. I speak from experience, okay? Coming from communist country. And this family in mission came there. They had, many children. So they needed babysitter. And one girl was helping them as babysitter. And after 2 or 3 years, that girl says, I want to be baptized. Why do you want to be baptized? Because I see how you treat each other. That is sign what it means to be light of the world. Without even trying. Just living your own life. You understand? Of course, that light was there much more visible because this destroyed communist country never have seen anything like that. Never have seen normal family. Never have seen in the family how they love each other. So that was shining bright there. But for us, even here, when there are not so many broken families. Yeah, there are too many broken families and so on. But still, it's important to show that it's possible to love as Christ loves. This love, love as Christ loves, is what can show to the world what it means to be Christian. Because Christ, what he told us, what is sign of Christianity? To pray a lot? No. Muslims pray even more than us, you know that. At least 5 times a day. To fast a lot? No, Muslims fast more. To do pilgrimages? Jews and Muslims do pilgrimages more than we. What is then sign of being Christian? Christ told us, love one another as I have loved you. By this love, everybody will know you are my disciple. Shall I repeat it? I'll repeat it just in case you didn't get it. Christ tells us, love one another as I have loved you. No, not us as nice people. Love one another as I have loved you. By this love, everybody will know you are my disciples. How Christ loved us? He died for us on the cross. Oh, that doesn't sound nice. Well, we reduce often loving each other to niceness. We come in the church and we are nice to each other. Oh, you have new haircut. You are so nice. Beautiful lipstick today. And And okay, nothing wrong with that. But it's easy to love somebody with whom you sit 1 hour in the church, especially if he doesn't smell bad or, I don't know, does something strange. Then it's easy to love that person because he doesn't do anything against you. But to love somebody who constantly annoys you with one thing, I don't know, your husband who leaves the toilet seat open or... I was annoyed that my girlfriend never left the toilet seat up for me. So the thing is that we get annoyed with other. It's much more difficult to love somebody who is close to you. It's easy to love person in Afghanistan. It's easy to love person whom you don't know. Somebody for whom you care, who is close to you. That person can hurt you much more easier because your expectation is bigger, is closer to you. And that person you need to love. That's much more difficult. And not to love him when you change him to be like you want. No, to love him as God loves you. To love him the way he is. God loves you the way you are. With all the things you cannot stand in yourself. With all the things which are annoying even to you. God loves you like that. And he expects. Only meaningful way to love somebody is to love that person as he or she is, not as you want him to be. And that's what God can do. What is needed? I think the key why we cannot love, the key why this world, light of Christ is getting cold, is in the second reading. Where St. Paul says, I came to you in weakness and fear and trembling, to announce you not any wisdom, and to announce you Christ crucified. You see, Christ crucified doesn't make sense. If he was God, why he didn't save himself? If he was so powerful, why he didn't avoid the cross? And that's the wisdom of God. That through the cross, through something what is so repulsive to us, to something what we try to escape all our life, through that cross we are finding salvation. Through that cross we find the presence of God. Through that cross we find joy which we would never expect before. That's the foolishness of God, says St. Paul in another place. That preaching is foolishness of God. That God, this cross, which is so contrary to our reason. How do we live our life? All our life we try to escape from the cross, correct? From the suffering, from the cross. Whatever we do our life to avoid the cross. And Christ comes and says what he says. I don't want to do the quiz today. If you want to be my disciple, what you have to do? Pick up your cross. Deny yourself and pick up your cross. Does it mean that church says the suffering is good? Never. Church would never say suffering is good. But accepting the will of God, even when the will of God involves suffering, then that's what is good. Accepting the will of God. Then in this acceptance, you will find joy. You will find the presence of God. Why is important that about accepting the cross? Because to love, I hope you understand by now, to love means sacrifice. It means to accept the suffering. Correct? To love your children, you have to fight with their rebellions, and to love them when they are rebellious against you again, when they fight, I don't want to eat, and so on. And to fight gently with all this what is in them. Not to fight against them, to fight what is rebellious in them. So the loving always includes suffering, always. And if we cannot love, if we don't know how to accept the cross, if we don't know how to accept the cross, we cannot love. You may see in this society today, all the millennials, I don't want to make fun of them, but sorry, I don't know how to avoid that. You know, to have these safe spaces. He told me I have long nose, I need my safe space. Or I don't know. I mean, the purpose is not to make fun of the people, but of that type of mentality which is completely distorted from anything what is real. We have to make fun of this mentality to show distortion of that. I mean, the people who are infected by that, hopefully we can help them to become adult. To become adult means to accept the suffering, because there is suffering in the world. Not to be scared of that suffering, because we have Christ who helps us. Or how we see that this light of Christianity is missing in the world. I don't know how many years ago, in the 60s, how many people from United States were traveling to India to find some meaning of life. They abandoned the Christianity. Many of these people, their parents were Christians, and they abandon everything what they have seen in Christianity, not because Christianity is wrong, because their parents were pretending that they were Christians. Not pretending, I don't want even to say that. They were thinking, they lived as Christianity as they have received it, diluted by this materialistic society, by everything, and their children have seen this doesn't work. It's not problem that Christianity was wrong. The version of Christianity which they have received obviously could not work. Diluted Christianity doesn't work, okay? Let me repeat that. Diluted Christianity, and that's what we try to live here too. Diluted Christianity, we often try to live that. Did you see, I don't know if you have seen any religious orders. In New York City we have the many regular Franciscans, and they are without not many vocations. And you have Franciscans of Renewal of Benedict Grosche. They have many vocations. What is the difference? Regular Franciscans live like the world, except that occasionally they wear habit. Okay. Franciscans of Renewal are very strict. They live different than the world. And everybody wants to come there. You may see in other religious orders, those who become to like the world, the nuns who don't wear habit, who are very, very lax, let's play it cool. They don't have vocations. They come and beg, please, fine. So, and those nuns who live very strict way of religious life, not that strictness is good, but they, by that they show they put God first, before the world. And people go to these orders. You see what I mean? People see they have something different. People don't want what world offers. They want to escape from the world, even to India. And you know that in India didn't work. They go there and try to levitate. At the end, they need drugs to levitate. I don't want to make fun of that too, but I know one hippie from California. She was in my community and I loved her very much. She died. So I don't want to make fun of hippies or somebody. It's just to show that we all get distracted by the mentalities which don't work. And we have treasure here in the church, something what can truly bring us to the fullness of life. When I was first year here in Manistee, I was afraid how we'll go further. First year that I was here, I knew about 8 suicides in this city. What does it mean? That this church doesn't bring light to the city. Okay, doesn't mean if we are all saints that there would not be any suicide. There are still sickness and something. But if we bring light to the city, there would be no people in despair and so on. And I don't say we need to become do-gooders to go and eradicate poverty. We have to show that we receive strength from God. What is the problem of the people without light, without hope? Exactly that, they are without hope. They don't have hope. Why to live for? What is the meaning of life? How to face the difficulties of life? Anxiety is killing me. Then you kill yourself. But if we have the hope which comes from Christ, if we have the strength which comes from Christ, there is nothing which can make us anxious. There is nothing what can scare me so much, because I know I have Father in heaven. Maybe I should give you an example of at least one saint, martyr. There are hundreds of saints who have shown this, how to face the life without fear, the problems without fear. Best we can see that in Mark. Just recently was Saint Agatha. She was a young girl she died in Rome, probably year 200 something. And the thing was, and I don't want to give the gross story of her killing or something, but want to show you how somebody who have faith in God has really shows strength which is beyond human. And this young girl, she decided to be united with Christ, like in to live all her life for Christ. And one guy wanted to marry her, and she said, no, I'm engaged with Christ. And he first put her in prison. That didn't work. Then he put her in brothel. That didn't work. Then he put her in prison and tortured her. That didn't work. Then he started to get more tough on her. He ordered to roll her over live coal with some I don't know, glass, broken glass or something in it. Still didn't convince her. And I will not go until the end. You already see. This determination, this strength doesn't come from her, cannot come from one human being. It comes from heaven. And that same strength, that same power can be given to anyone who learn how to love God. How can we learn to love God? I told you so many times. It's not that we have loved God. He has loved us first. When we recognize how much He loves us, what does it mean that God loves you? It means He wants to bring you to happiness for which He created you. You can relax in the love of God. You can relax and allow God to lead you toward the happiness for which you are created. Things might not be the way you expect, almost sure will never be. I never expected to become a priest, never wanted to be a priest. And God led me here and gave me happiness as a priest. Happiness which I would never imagine. To you, God might lead you to think, but that's exactly our resistance. We don't want to change anything. God, I want you that you make me happy. That's good that you love me and you want to make me happy. Just don't change anything in my life. Not even mass time. Don't let me start with that. The point is that God can truly help us, give us happiness. But He will not give us happiness if we don't allow ourselves out of our shell. He cannot give us happiness there in our shell where we feel secure. We have to come out of our shell where we are only our protection is the love of God and be united with Him. That's what Christ, by union with Christ, reason, that's how we receive life. How we receive eternal life. Not if you are in the church, you come in the church and you die and then God looks at you. You were good enough. Come here. It's not like that. It's not matter of being good or bad. It's matter that today, now, you are united with Christ's risen. You are part of the risen body of Christ and you share in the life of the risen body. And you share in this life which is indestructible. You know, hopefully you know, you cannot kill Christ. You know that? Just take any biggest gun you have and try to shoot Christ, and he says, try harder. And then you say, I'll try harder, I take bazooka. And you shoot him, and he says, try harder. You cannot kill him anymore. He's died and risen. He has life which cannot be destroyed. If we are united with this, if we are part of this body, risen body of Christ, we cannot die. We have the life in us which is indestructible. That's why it's important to experience this eternal life already now, not after you die. It might sound a bit wrong when I say, I don't care if you rise after you die. It's not completely true. But to make a point, I don't care if you rise after you die. What is important that today you experience eternal life. Today you experience this union with risen Christ. Today your life is changed because you are united with Christ risen, and that makes you free from every fear, every anxiety. You live the fullness of life already today. That's what will bring light to this world.